Medical Services of Cancer Bond. You can join Todd, Lynn, and the Pet Look Up Team from New York. Forming reality to be different ideas is hopeless. Mr. Katie says, Joseph continues to say, if you pay attention, you'll notice that you can read thoughts like this dozens of times a day. People should be kinder. Children should be well behaved. My husband or wife should agree with me. I should be fair, or prettier, or more successful. These kind of thoughts are ways of walking the road to the different than it is. And if you think that this sounds depressing, you're right. All the stress that we feel is caused by argument and prejudice. And again, stop hurting here. People know to the word often say to me, to God, but it would be disempowering to start my argument with the enemy. If I simply accept the enemy, I'll become passive. I might even lose the desire to act. I answer them with a question. Then we really know that that's true. Which is more empowering? I wish I hadn't lost my dog, or I lost my dog. What intelligent solutions can I find right now? What David's work reveals is that what you think shouldn't have happened should have happened. It should have happened because it did happen. And nothing in the world's going to take you. It doesn't mean that you condone that or you approve of that. It just means that you can begin to see things without resistance and without the confusion that comes out of that inner struggle. I mean, nobody wants to see their children get sick or to be in a car accident. But when these things happen, how can it be helpful to mentally argue with them? We know better than to do that, but we do it because we don't know how to stop. Katie says that, and I'll quote again, I am a lover of what is, not because I'm a spiritual person, but because it hurts when I argue with the enemy. We can know that reality is good, just as it is, because when we argue with it, we experience tension and frustration. We don't feel natural or violence. When we stop opposing reality, action becomes simple, fluid, kind, and fearless. That's really the basis of it. And so, staying in our own business is better than that Katie was really talking about. What is my business? What is God's business? What is somebody else's business? We're going to look at that question and the questions that she poses to help you get clear and believe your own suffering. And if you practice being in your own business for a while, if you practice staying out of God's business and staying out of somebody else's business, if you really begin paying attention to whose business you're actually in your own mind, you might come to see that you don't really have any business. And that my friends particularly well know to me. Joseph says that a thought is harmless unless we believe it. It's not our thoughts, but the attachment to our thoughts that actually causes suffering. And so it's attaching to a thought means believing that it's true without actually thinking it. And a belief is just a thought that we've been attaching to often over and over again for years and years and years. And most people think they are Katie says, one day I noticed that I wasn't breathing. I was being breathing. Then I also noticed, to my amazement, that I wasn't actually breathing. That I was actually being thought. And that thinking isn't personal. When you wake up in the morning and say to yourself, I think I won't think today, it's too late. You're already thinking. Thoughts just appear. They come out of nothing and go back to nothing. Like clouds moving across the empty sky. They come to pass, not to stay. There is no harm in them until we attach to them as if they were true. Katie says that no one has ever been able to control their thinking, although people may tell the story of how they are. We don't meet all of our thoughts, but we can meet them with understanding and then the thoughts of God. And so
energy something that has been closely needed, because my passion is helping people heal and grow. I work my single day time, 503-248-0069, with bookings online at marissadahara.com. I'm sure to connect you with them. And so these four questions that we're talking about here, with Byron and Katie, are really, really simple. The first question is, what it takes you to do, when you work with Katie, what she has you do is put things down on paper. Because when we're just thinking through things in our minds, our mind can trick us. Our mind is pretty big and tricky. And it's been looking what it's been thinking for a really long time. And so it's really hard to observe it just by watching in our mind. And so she has you write things down on a piece of paper. And again, if you go to her website, all of those things you can download for free. And you can do this work with yourself. And so the first step in the work of the mind is to identify the thoughts and the judgments that are causing your stressful emotions and write them down. And on our website, I write these down in what's called the Judge Your Neighbor Worksheet or on the Beautiful.com Worksheet. And the way you do this is sort of, it's fun and interesting because most of us, you know, we've really been taught that it's not good to judge. But none of us are doing it. And so we have judgments running through our heads about everybody and everything, no matter what. And so what the work does is give you permission to actually let those judgments out and put them on paper. And we're going to find that even the most unpleasant thoughts can actually lead to that condition. And so what she encourages you to do is to write about someone who you haven't yet totally forgiven, someone that you still resent. And that is a really powerful place to begin. Even if you've forgiven somebody almost overall, 99%, you aren't free until your forgiveness is complete. And so the 1% you haven't forgiven, that's the very place where you're going to be stuck with all of your other relationships, including your own relationship. And so, Katie tells everybody to begin by turning that blame outward, which is contradictory to everything that I believe, but when I hear this work, it's pretty amazing. Except for the belief. Because the focus isn't on ourselves. And the reason that you don't want to put your focus on yourself is because your ego is really, really good at defending yourself. And you really won't get anywhere very fast if you're doing it correctly. So she has you put your attention on somebody else. And whatever work that you do, focus on somebody else. It actually changes your own image and your own vision and your own feelings about yourself as well. And you won't know that until you actually do it. You can get to see who you are and who you think other people are. And you actually get to forgive yourself by forgiving other people. And you know, what you get to see really when you're doing the work is that everything outside of us is a reflection of our own thinking. We are the storyteller of our lives. We are the projector of all the stories. And the world is the projected image of our parents. And since the beginning of time, probably, people have been trying to change the world so that they can be happy and it hasn't ever worked. And it can't work because it approaches the problem backwards. And what Katie's work gives us is a way to change the projector, the mind, the internal image, rather than what's on the outside. It's like, you know, when there's a piece of wood on a projector's lens, you can think there's a flaw on the screen, and then you try to change this person and that person wherever the flaw appears to the lens, but it's futile to try to change that projected image. And once we realize where the rip is, it's in the lens, then we can find the lens, and that's the end of something. It's the end of the flaw we're seeing, and it's the beginning of a little bit of treatment, and we get a feeling more weaknesses and problems. And so, rather than walk you through the worksheet, which you can download from her website if you want to, I'm just going to talk about how the process works. And so whatever the stressful thought is that you're looking at, the first thing you do, I'll use myself as an example because I'll tell you how it really comes from. I used to be, I still am, I'm sort of an activist in a lot of ways. I think of myself now as a spiritual activist. I used to be, and still am, an incredible environmental essence. I used to do a lot of externally focused environmental things, and I was constantly feeling helpless and hopeless, because no matter how much I did, there was really more to do than I could ever get done. And it wasn't until I really worked with Katie that I understood a really important thing. So, the way the work goes is like this. So I have the thought that people should not be polluting the earth. That was my thought. That was my belief. I was very, very clear. People should not be polluting the earth. You know what? I think my phone is ringing, and I'm going to try to pick it up. And I was going to just want to sleep. That was when I really wanted to get the full question. So I'm going to look at the car and get it up there. I shouldn't want to know. So if anybody else is in that boat, let me just tell you this. My question is, I'm going to go through the environment. The first question in Brian Katie's book is it true? Yes or no? The second question is, can you absolutely know that it's true? Again, yes or no? The third question is, how do you react? What happens? What do you become? Who do you believe that thought? The fourth question, who do you believe that thought? And then, of course, there's a turnaround at the end that you have to be found out. So the example is, I used to be very, 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 very distressed in a huge way, constantly distressed, because I believed that people should not pollute. And I was angry about it, I was frustrated about it, I was really in a lot of distress about it, and I spent a whole lot of time attempting to take care of all the pollution that other people did, and I was very angry and upset about it a lot, too. And when I first worked with Katie, and that was one of the things I first worked with, is people should not pollute. And, you know, I probably had a few choice words in there along with that. And so Katie's first, very compassionate, very beautiful person, she just looked at me very calmly, and she said, is that true? And I said, absolutely that's true. It is absolutely true that people should not pollute. And of course that's true. And she said, can you know for sure? But if you're looking from God's perspective, if you're looking from the perspective of the whole entire universe and everything that's going on in it, can you know for absolutely sure that there isn't some huge purpose being served by the way it's going just the way it is? I mean, can you really know for sure that people should not pollute? You know, I almost fell out of my seat when she asked me that, because all of a sudden, I realized it was just my opinion people should not pollute. But that actually, from God's perspective, it might be part of God's big plan that all this pollution is happening, because then, very often, I had no idea, all of a sudden, I realized that in my mind, I had been playing that I knew more than God. Because, yes, I believed it was true that people should not pollute, but I didn't know that for 100% sure there could be some larger purpose being served. There could be some larger wisdom in the whole entire universe in my mind. That's what I was clear about. And so that question rocked me right off my seat. Can I know for sure? And I have to say, I mean, I tried to argue with it, and she said, no. Don't tell me a story, don't discuss it, just yes or no. Can you know for sure that that is true? And I had to say no. Blew my mind. She said, okay. So, now you believe in the thought that you don't know is true. And when you believe that thought that you don't know is true, who are you? Who are you when you believe that thought? What happens inside of you? Who do you become? How do you behave? And you know, I got to see when I believed that thought that I didn't even know if it was true or not, and it was so beautiful. The way I reacted and behaved was I was angry, I was judgmental, I raised my own blood pressure, I acted mean and hateful, probably, at least inside myself, toward people that I thought were not behaving the way I thought they should. I was not a very nice person, and I was a very miserable person when I believed this thought. question, what would you do with that question? And you know, I can't even imagine it. I had to ask me that in like 5 or 6 different ways. Where would you go with that without imagining what your family had been through that way? Just imagine that you're in your car and you're driving down the road and the person in front of you just threw in a bag of trash. And imagine yourself not even able to handle that issue. What would you do? And it was hard to imagine it, but when I did, what I noticed is that I felt peaceful and that I felt loving and that my reaction was I just picked my car off the road and went and picked up the garbage. And I was very grateful that I saw the garbage come out of the window and that I could go pick it up. It's like when I was at peace with what it was, then I could take action that actually felt good and was effective. Whereas when I had been all judgmental about it, and was arguing with what is and angry about it, I didn't have any beneficial action. I was just caught up in feeling how broken I was feeling. So that's just one little example of is it true? And usually if we're attached to a thought and we ask the question, is it true, our first answer is going to be, oh yeah, absolutely it's true. But then the next question, can you absolutely know for sure if that is true? And it doesn't matter whether the answer is yes or no, but most of the time we know what we're going to say, not really, I can't know for sure. And then, who are you? What happens inside of you? And then who are you without that thought? And what you notice immediately is that it's not what happened in the end of the world that is making you upset. It's your thought about it that's making you upset. That's all. If my thought is one thing, I'm going to suffer. If my thought is something else, I'm not going to suffer. That's the basic thought of mine. Now, that is a very, very brief summary of how the work feels. Oh my gosh, it is amazing stuff. And so compassionate. And then the last part is to turn that thought around. And what we do every week is we figure out what we can all do to live better lives, feel like we have more meaning and purpose, and actually access the joy and the beauty and the divinity that lives inside each and every one of us. It is very clear to me that we are divine beings, we are divinely created, and that there is a spirit and spark of life in each and every one of us, because without it, we all are in close faith. Whenever that spirit and that spark is no longer in us, we look at the body and feel it is dead, because that spirit is gone. As long as the body is animated, as long as it's not all around, then remember the spirit in it. And that's what we work with on this show, and how to access and connect to it and benefit from it. That connection with divine self. It lives inside each and every one of us. And every week, we use different methods, different ideas, different understandings to help us tap into that inner divinity and grow from that. And this week, what we've been doing is working with something called Vedic, which is from a woman named Diana Keaton. So we have been working experience in 1986 and being a suicide alone, able, raging, depressed. This is a human being into being so lifelong with joy and beauty, and he has now been teaching everyone all over the world how to do that. And do that the way she does that, which is the 4 simple questions. Basically, her idea is to question any stressful thought you have. Any belief you have that feels anything less than wonderful, question it. Just do inquiry. You're not trying to change your own mind. You're just questioning your mind. And so whatever the stress of that is, she basically has you ask 4 questions about it, and then turn it around. And you can go to her website, which is vinnywork.com. And a lot of this stuff is downloadable for free. All the forms and things that she uses are. And there's something on there called the Little Book. And what the Little Book is, sort of a summary of the first book she wrote called Loving What Is, and all the tools that it got to help you do this work on your own. they didn't need a person to help them with this, although a lot of people do this work, and a lot of people can help with this work. And there's actually a hotline that you can call that's on her website, but a lot of times you can actually get care assistance for free. Lion Kitty is all about addressing the suffering in the world, and when somebody asks them, I've done some work with him, as well as my family. Someone asked what if you accept what is, then how come you want to get rid of all the suffering in the world? And she says, I accept that there is suffering in the world, and I accept that it's my mission to eliminate it. She doesn't say that the suffering is bad. She doesn't say that the suffering makes her upset. It does not. It's just that the suffering, she says, is her reason for being. Because her job, as she sees it, is to eliminate all the suffering in the world. And so whatever the distressing thought is that you're having, when you do Katie's work, what you discover very quickly is it is never the actual reality that is actually causing you to suffer. It is your instinct that is causing you to suffer. One person could be having that same reality and not be suffering at all, and another person could be having that reality and be suffering tremendously. It is your instinct about what is going on that determines whether you suffer or not. Pain is pain, but whether we suffer from it or suffer from it. And that is Katie's goal. And again, the name of her book is Loving What Is, Four Questions That Can Change Your Life. Really amazing. Her second book, I do believe, is called I Need Your Love, Is That True? And that is a book more focused on relationships, obviously. And then she wrote a third book called A Thousand Miles to Go, using the most beautiful book in the world. But let me just very quickly sum up what the questions are so that you can play with this for yourself. So whatever your stress or thought is, ask yourself, is it true? The first answer is probably going to be yes. You think it's true because that's why you're upset. But then the second question is, can you absolutely know? In many cases, it appears to be true. Of course it does. You wouldn't be upset if it weren't. But when you really ask yourself, can I absolutely know that it's true? Can I really know for myself, within myself, that that is actually true? You discover that you can't even say for 100% that that should be true, because I don't know what happens to other people, but for me what happens is, I suddenly remember that my mind, my ego, and myself is not the registering going on in the universe, but God, that the stars, the universe, source, energy, great spirit, Allah, Buddha, Krishna, Jesus, whatever you want to call it, the greater source of life. It's way bigger than that. And I can't know for sure that my thought is actually true, because that's something bigger than me. I might have a bigger plan that I'm not privy to. And so usually for me, the second question when you ask me to share the question, I usually say, well, no, I have a perspective. But it doesn't matter. Even if you say yes, yeah, absolutely. Then go ahead and continue with the rest of the questions. Because the third question is, how do you react when you're thinking about whatever that thought is? You know what happens inside of you? Who do you become? How do you behave when you believe that thing? What you begin to notice with that is sort of the internal cause and effect. And you begin to see that when you believe that thought, you get this uncomfortable, uneasy, disturbing feeling that, you know, it can be lively and uncomfortable, it can go all the way up to what you're talking about. And then the fourth question is, what would you do without the thought? And that is a very powerful question. Because a lot of times, you couldn't even have an idea. You can't even really imagine being without the thought because you've had it and you've believed in it so sincerely. But it's really about how would you be if you literally couldn't think that? You could be imagining yourself in whatever the situation is where you normally have that thought and imagine yourself being there without it all. If it's not totally unimaginable, which sometimes it really is, because I don't know is a really common answer, would behold you, and if I am moved to him in the room as well. Death is empowered, because when you notice him, then you realize that this is the external situation that is causing your misery. It is what you're thinking about that is causing your misery. It's really amazing that I'd like to spend a lot more time talking about adding to the verb, but we are about out of time today. It's truly unbelievable how fast this time goes. But the last piece I really have to say this of the boundaries work is the turnaround. And what that means is that you find opposites of your original statement. So for my opposite on the public signal point, an opposite to that would be amazing. I could say that sentence with I instead of people. And I could say I should not be. And I said, wow, that's actually true. That's much truer than people should not be. I know that that's true because I believe that I shouldn't do that. So that's true for me. I should not be. And then if I think that I should not pollute, then suddenly I realize, well, you know, I'm actually polluting with my negative thinking. And it's like all of a sudden I see how I am contributing to this thing that I could put upon me in the first place. And there's a number of different ways to do the turnaround. We're out of time. I don't have time to get into all of those. But like I said before, you can download all of this, go to the website, and you can learn more about how to do this for yourself. Find the website for free, and the little book that's on the website that you can download for free is sort of a very brief summary. But the book, Loving You, is really the explanation for the whole how to do it, and it's beautiful. And if you have relationship issues, then the book to read is How You Do Not Is That True. I'd really like to wrap it up here and close out for today. Again, my name is Lisa Sedaris. My show is In of the Bending. My name is Lisa Sedaris, and we are here every Wednesday from 9 to 3 p.m. Eastern at WAI since 1988.3 FM and online at www.aifa.org. So if you enjoyed today's show, tell everyone to join me. Join me on the Facebook page for the show, which is the same name.